Welcome to Hero Cafe. My name's Cameron Bowes.
And I'm Sam Drake.
And welcome to the Weekend Review Show once again. We actually are getting good at this. We're staying on target. We have three movies that we're going to be talking about today. Sam and I each have seen two different movies and then one movie of the same. For example, I went and seen Happy Death Day, the horror movie that came out this weekend for Friday the 13th. Sam went and seen the Oscar bait movie Marshall, and then we both went and seen the new Jackie Chan movie, The Foreigner. So, how are we going to do this? I'm going to talk about Happy Death Day, give my overall impressions, try to sell you on the movie. I'm going to toss it over to Sam. He's going to try to do the same for Marshall, and then we'll just kind of go into our shared thoughts about The Foreigner. So, getting right into it, Happy Death Day, directed by Christopher Landon, is a new horror movie that is number one at the box office right now. It is another hit from Blumhouse. Critically, it's decent. I haven't looked at the Rotten Tomatoes as of this weekend, but for the most part, it's been pretty, you know, people have been pretty kind to it. So I went and seen it last night, and this movie was here playing at one of our older theaters, which is kind of interesting because I really thought it would be at one of the newer ones, considering it was pretty much poised to be a hit. But it was cool, man. I went last night. It was opening night, technically, not preview night. And there was a decent amount of people in this theater that I usually never see people in. So that's how I kind of knew it was going to be a success to some level. And, you know, I had fun with it, is what I'll say. It's by no means a perfect movie, and it's by no means maybe even a good movie, if I'm being honest. But there's a couple things that kind of, like, rise above for it that keep it afloat. The first one is the main actress. It was pretty funny, actually. Me and a couple friends were watching La La Land, the other night, and she's just randomly, like, one of Mia's roommates in La La Land. And, like, of course, then I had no idea who she was, but now that she's in this and the marketing had kicked off by this point, I couldn't get away from YouTube without seeing an ad for this movie, you know? It was cool. So she's one of those. The actress's name is Jessica Roth. I have a feeling that because of this movie, she probably will probably be seeing a lot more of her in the future, because she does really well. She's actually a really despicable character in the movie. Basically, this is a very general setup for the movie. It's Groundhog Day meets a horror movie, right? Like, we've seen this before with the romantic comedies. They're starting to do it now. You know, you even have your action movies that have done it over the last couple of years. The best one standing out of the entire pack since Groundhog Day, of course, being Edge of Tomorrow. That's, like, the leader of the pack, right? But then now you have Blumhouse and the horror movie kind of going into this. And, you know, so it's her birthday. She wakes up, and by the end of the day, she's killed. That's just a very generic term of where it's set up at. And then, of course, she wakes up living the same day over and over. And so she has to find out who kills her to stop this day from repeating itself, right? And so, this movie basically goes exactly as you would expect it. Because she's a despicable character, she has somewhere to grow. So, you know, she's going to change and evolve by the end of the movie. And that's how it had to be, you know, because otherwise, if she's a good person from the start, then where do you really go from there? Unless you're going to just see her delve into being a terrible person, which, hey, maybe I'd watch that. I don't know. But it's a lot more. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's a different version of Breaking Bad. But anyways, for this movie, you know, and it's PG-13. So it's very much like a very lighthearted horror movie, to the point where one of my biggest problems with this movie is that it basically stops being a horror movie after the second time that she dies. And so it really takes all the air out of the tension that was actually pretty well done in the first two timelines. And I don't really feel like that much of a spoiler. Like, it just kind of, like, I mean, that's just how these movies go. Your first timeline sets up that, it has the stage, right? Like, these are the events that you're going to continually see throughout this movie, and then the movie's job is to play into it, right? So by the second time, you know, she's confused. The third time, fourth time, it's chaos, montage, and then you have your final act, right, that, like, solves everything, and kind of have to go into all that. So They do, you know, they do a pretty good job of keeping it entertaining for watching the same thing over and over again, which is, of course, important. Just like Edge of Tomorrow, like, it can get old really fast if you don't keep changing it up and making things interesting, but playing within that same rules that you've set up. So I feel like I have to commend the director for doing a good job with that. A lot of the problem really just comes with, like, the reveal, you know, something like that. Like, I wasn't completely satisfied with the reveal. It fixes it a little bit by the end, so I walked out happier than I would have if it would have ended maybe, like, 10 minutes earlier. Something like that. But, I think the performance for Happy Death Day by Jessica Roth kind of rises above, because she just does a really good job. She is a despicable character, like I said, at the beginning. And by the end of the movie, you sell her. It sells you her transformation enough that you're like, okay, you know, I'm down with this, you know. And there's some pretty good supporting cast in there. Again, of like, there's no person in here that's recognizable, you know. Like, it is a cheap movie, for sure, which is why it's going to make so much money. Because there's not a single star outside of the fact that she sells her performance and she kind of becomes the star. But, you know, there's a guy that she's with through the whole movie. He does a really good job. I think we'll see more of him too. He provides a really solid performance. And the direction during the horror moments is really good. Like, you could tell that's his background, Christopher Landon. But my biggest problem is it takes the air out of the horror, and it kind of, that's why it's like PG-13 instead of like a hard R or anything like that, is that it stops caring about being a horror movie. Like, there's almost an entire middle section of the movie that's just like completely void of any thriller moments or horror moments, basically. And it actually, the minute the movie purposefully changes a tone to not be that anymore, then by the time they try to come back to it at the end, I don't, you know, it's gone for me already. You know, I felt like the first couple timelines did a good job of keeping that suspension and making it fun to see how the person was going to kill her, you know, but then it really undercuts itself there, which is the biggest problem that I think it has. So anyways, that's just kind of my overall thoughts. I think it's a entertaining movie. It's a fun one to go out and see if that's your kind of thing, you know. Again, it's PG-13, so you're gonna have a lot of high schoolers and stuff in there. I sure did. So it's kind of like a date night movie almost, you know. Like, it's not like so gory and intense that some people are gonna have to check out. Like, it's pretty well just like a generic, like, everybody can go see it and have just a be entertained. So, and that's what the movies are about, is to be entertained. So anyways, I'm being kind to it, like you said, just because, I mean, like, I'm kind of a sucker for this kind of stuff if it's good. And Blumhouse they've pretty much single-handedly changed the perspective of horror movies over the last few years. They still put out some bad ones, but for the most part, they've done a really, Jason Blum and his company has done a really good job of helping reset the horror genre back to being good like it was in the 80s. So I appreciate them, and so I always go support their movies. So yeah, it's a fun one. For people that, if this interests you, you know, if the trailer interests you, then I'd say go see it, and keep an eye out for Jessica Roth, because we'll see her again. So that's my overall impressions of Happy Death Day. I'd recommend it if that's kind of your horror movies or your thing, and you just want to go have fun on Friday the 13th or this weekend. But other than that, it's skippable. You know, there's nothing. It doesn't stand out of the pack. You know, like, it this year is in my top 10 favorite movies this year because it was that good. This movie is just, it's just entertaining. So, anyways, Sam, you went and seen Marshall. I was very disappointed it didn't come to my town. So I need you to tell me how much I'm going to love it, or if it's worth skipping.
Yeah, so this movie was just a little disappointing to me, but anybody who knows me in person is going to know I have really high standards. So we're going to try to walk that line and try to give you guys a meaningful recommendation, and really kind of let you know what I didn't like about it. And maybe that will or won't matter to you, but we'll see. So Marshall, starring Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick Boseman is going to be familiar to most people because he's recently broken out as the star of Black Panther coming in the fall, or in February, not in the fall. And he's also been playing Black Panther in his appearances in the other Marvel shows. I think it's just one, right? It's just Civil War.
Just Civil War, yeah.
Yeah. So, great actor, American actor, and with a funny name. I was talking with my wife. I was kind of like, just from the name and without knowing ahead of time, like he's either Montanan or he's like English or something. But turns out he's from like South Carolina. So.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So I'm way off base. But he, you got Chadwick Boseman, you've got Josh Gad, and you've got Kate Hudson, and everyone else in this movie I've never heard of before. And, you know, they're the biggest stars of the show, and so it makes sense. But I think they spent a lot of money getting Boseman on board to kind of elevate the profile of this particular picture. I was looking at production companies, people involved in the production, and as far as I can tell, none of them are part of the big premier studios in Hollywood. Yeah. They seem like...
It didn't seem like it when I seen the trailers, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, and even just digging, like, sometimes a lot of these production companies are, like, subsidiaries of a subsidiary of, like, Paramount, right? You know, and so it's like... It's engineered to have the appearance of an independent production. I didn't see any of that. And maybe people whose Google Foo is better will. But as far as I could tell, it was a pretty darn independent production. Director Reginald Hudlin is better known as a television producer. He gets credited as Reggie Hudlin. Looking through his directorial credits, it's mostly like one episode of almost every TV show out there. So he does a lot of production, and he'll get tapped basically to come in and fill in as director. And as far as I could tell, this is one of his only directing gigs that he's done. And that kind of lends into my perspective. First, a synopsis. This follows Thurgood Marshall, played by Chadwick Boseman, when the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, back... way back, is almost dead. They've almost, you know, they're running out of money. They've had to lay off a bunch of people, and really what the NAACP needs is it needs a good case where they can prove that they can go out and defend people who are wrongly accused of something because of their race. And if they can do that, then they'll start getting support again, but they're losing support because they haven't been succeeding. So, Thurgood Marshall is the lawyer. He is, you know, he's the only guy working for the NAACP in their law defense. And he gets sent out to Connecticut, actually, to defend a guy who was accused of rape. And so he suckers Josh Gad into it, who is a local practicing attorney who does not want to get involved with the high-profile nature of the case. And Kate Hudson plays the woman... who kind of sort of serves as antagonist, although she becomes more sympathetic as the case goes on. And so this is way more a biopic perspective of Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall later on argued in the Supreme Court several times and became a Supreme Court justice in the 60s. So He's a titan of America, honestly, but he is absolutely a titan of the African-American community in America. And so that's part of the draw here, is its biography of young Thurgood Marshall, a person anyone can look up to. And so part of, after the synopsis, you know, I'm trying to stay organized here because I'm not typically a very organized person in my brain, but we get done with the synopsis and I'll just kind of go into my perspective. I don't want to be a poser and pretend like I know just a ton about this particular story, about the history of the NAACP. I do what I can to be sensitive to the fact that things are not always as cut and dry as they seem 30, 40, 50 years later. And so I think part of what disappointed me about this story is it was a great story that could have benefited from more nuanced writing and more nuanced direction. And really actually become an Oscar contender. We have good talent here. It's a great story, but all your off-screen talent, I don't think matched up to what we saw in potential. It's a pretty down-the-line discrimination and racism is bad story, which it definitely is. Not getting into that, but usually there's more story to tell there other than these white people with nice haircuts are terrible people, and these black people over here are going to do their best to try to get what they deserve, right? It's a story that's been told a lot, and it's almost never that simple. And the real life story has enough gravitas and enough drama to where if they would have played into the fact that there's a lot going on here and these are imperfect people and we can't really draw this in a cartoon way, then there's actual real drama here if they were courageous enough to tell that story. But instead, I think they went down the middle to kind of cater to what they think is going to be the demographic that makes this a success, which is your African-American demographic comes out, wants to see a movie about Thurgood Marshall. I got the same sort of vibe off of Red Tails, came out years ago. And it seemed like the sort of production that got a lot of talented actors involved in it because they believed that the movie needed to be made, but you didn't have that same talent in the director's chair or in the writer's room. And this one is not that bad. Marshall is a pretty darn good movie. I think I said on Twitter it's not bad, but that the subject material and the story deserves more than not bad. And that's kind of that's where I'm going to come down on it. I think if you're the kind of person who really enjoys dramas, if you really enjoy seeing a story play out, you know, I think when I left that theater, it really came across as like, you know, this is just a really down the middle courtroom drama with a certain time and place sort of stapled onto it to make it have more weight. And so like if you enjoy courtroom dramas, right, this is nothing special, but it's definitely not bad. The acting performances I felt were genuine and well thought out. Even the bit characters here are they do a pretty good job conveying and selling you on the reality of that situation, right? And the writing isn't so bad that it's distracting, but just when you take a bird's eye view at the story, you see so much more there. And I think, I don't know if they didn't put more in because they couldn't afford it. A little rinky-dink production like this, maybe they just didn't have the time or the money. There's a cynical side in me that said, you know, man, we make a Thurgood Marshall movie, people are going to turn out. So make it good enough, but it doesn't have to be, you know, fantastic, right? More potential there than what I saw on the screen, but honestly it's not a bad movie. It's a matinee if this movie was really, really interesting to you, but you know, if it's definitely not an Oscar contender, I'll tell you that straight up.
That's disappointing, but I have to admit that, like, when I seen the trailers and stuff like that, it seemed very PC. It seemed very biopics are just hard, you know? Like, dude, biopics are so hit or miss, and it's almost never, like, in the middle. So, this is kind of a middle ground one. Like, I always kind of judge biopics on, like, their on their school potential. This to me, when I seen it, like it seemed like a school potential movie, you know, like it seems like something a teacher would just like put on when they didn't want to teach. And that would be what you watch in school, right? Because all the good biopics you can almost never watch in school because it truly just delves into some of the harder issues, stuff like that. Like obviously one of the better ones in the last couple of years was Straight Outta Compton, which that was a hard R directed by a major, major director, F. Gary Gray, who's now gone on to direct bigger things after it. You know, but so I can't say I'm totally surprised. Again, like the reason why we call it Oscar bait is because it tries to sell you on the fact that it's trying to be that, but almost none of them ever are actually good enough to be it. So that's disappointing, but it is what it is. Well, moving on to our last movie of the day that we've both seen. We have The Foreigner, starring Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan, directed by Martin Campbell. Martin Campbell is, of course, the Casino Royale director. And Martin Campbell also has other directing credits. We'll be kind and just point out Casino Royale, because that's his best movie by far. But then, you know, we also have, you know, Green Lantern and stuff like that. So, anyway, like I said, we're going to be kind. And we're just going to say he's the Casino Royale director. And this movie is very clearly produced by Jackie Chan and other foreign companies. and I have to admit, You know, I didn't have super high expectations going into this movie. But coming out of it, I have quite a bit of good things to say. But before we kind of get into all that, just kind of a brief overview of what this movie's about. Jackie Chan plays a Chinese immigrant living in London. And during a very unfortunate circumstance, there's a bombing in London and he loses a loved one. And this movie is kind of the ramifications of just a man with nothing to lose, right? It sounds something like we've seen before. But at the same time, again, like, we haven't seen this from Jackie Chan. So, you know, it's that alone, Jackie Chan pretty much sells this movie. And we'll get into that a little bit too, but, so basically Jackie Chan is on a one-man mission to find his daughter's killers. She was the one that was unfortunately killed in an accident or a terrorist attack. And, this movie isn't just cut and dry of like, this is who killed her. This is, it's very much a political thriller. It's not the action movie that you've been, you know, told that it's going to be. This is not Taken. You know, this is a different kind of movie. It's a, you know, I've seen a couple people say that it's almost like a political thriller that you would have seen a decade ago. And I agree. This is almost a movie that you haven't seen in a while, but it's something that is formulaic in what it does. But, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good formula. It's just something that we haven't seen in a while because, you know, movies have been doing different stuff. But, and it has Pierce Brosnan as one of these political heads in the movie. And, you know, so it has very much two different sides of it. You have your action side that, of course, Jackie Chan brings to it. And then you have the political side that Pierce Brosnan has. So it's kind of two different sides of a coin. And what I could say is I enjoyed the movie. I think it's a little bit too long, but it does what it needs to do, and I was entertained, and I walked out of it again with some good impressions. So I'm going to toss it over to you, Sam, first. Kind of give me your overall thoughts on what you thought of this movie.
So yeah, I actually really enjoyed it a lot. I'm the kind of guy who has low expectations out of his action movies, so you know, it doesn't need to be genius level cinema for me to have a good time at an action movie. I think, like, I really enjoyed Jackie Chan. He does a really good job playing old man Jackie Chan as opposed to, like, Rush Hour Jackie Chan. He still plays somebody who, like, definitely knows Wing Chun, but also, like, cannot throw down like he used to. And he plays that really, really well in this, really convincingly, in little subtle ways. And then on the flip side of that, Pierce Brosnan is in rare form in this movie. He is really, really, really good. And I always assumed that he was English, because of his time in all the 007 movies, you know, GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, but he's Irish. And so he gets to play into what I'm assuming is a native Irish accent. And, you never know how bad Irish accents are until you hear a really good one. Kind of the same with Australian accents, to tell you the truth. But just being able to hear Pierce Brosnan kind of just act was fantastic, and he's great in this movie. So, you know, your stars that need to do well do really well. They sell their characters really well. I agree, it's more of a political thriller, but at the same time, it's got enough mystery to it. Like most political thrillers, there's a mystery: who did it, why'd they do it, right? And there's enough of that here that makes it interesting enough to where I wasn't expecting a mystery, right? I was expecting Taken, where it's like, yeah, they killed my daughter, must die, right?
Yeah, that's what the marketing wants you to believe, and I understand why they did it that way, obviously, because when you have Jackie Chan as your top billing, that's kind of what we're expecting, and so they really played into that. But it's not, you know, so definitely.
So, I mean, for me, I think, you know, this weekend was not, you know, a banner weekend, but it wasn't bad. But this particular movie gets my MVP for the weekend. Without being able to go into the story, I can't talk about the interesting stuff that they do here. But it was enough to where what I expected to be a stupid action movie really had enough nuance to the storytelling to keep me engaged on that front, till the end, till they wrapped it all up. And so, I think the only thing that I could say about the story is that at times, most political thrillers, especially like the very, very good ones, they do a good job making sure that you understand exactly what you saw on the screen, right? Even if they're subtle, they're going to be not so subtle that that people start to miss important clues, right? And I think there were a couple different points in this movie where I felt a little lost, like just a little. It was bad enough that like everyone either has a mother or has an aunt that spends the entire movie like bumping somebody, asking what's that, who is that, why'd they do that, what does that mean, right? And like, so I had one of those ladies who was down the aisle from me, and it was like pulling teeth. But every time where I was kind of like, man, what's happening? Like she'd bump her, I'm assuming her husband, and be like, what's that? Why'd they do that? And I'm like, what, you know, just watch the movie. But like, I didn't have any confidence until they wrapped it all up at the end that they were actually going to wrap it up in a cohesive way. So halfway through it felt like they might not. So that's one of my only criticisms, is that a good thriller or a good mystery movie is going to make you feel like you're the smartest person watching it and you still don't know, right? Instead of like, you know, instead of feeling like you're semi-lost the entire time. So that's my nitpick. But to tell you the truth, most of this stuff is solid. The whole movie's carried on the acting performances of Pierce Brosnan and Jackie Chan, and that's fortunate because they do a really good job. So
yeah, they do. I truly believe that this is probably Pierce Brosnan's like maybe his best performance. Like honestly, like I being a 90s kid, I grew up with him being my 007. And then at that point, that's when you kind of span out, go backwards and find other ones, right? So while Pierce Brosnan was my 007, I actually thoroughly remember going and seeing his last one with my dad in Wichita. But, so I grew up with him as my 007, and then I go back and watch other ones. And I always thought he was great. He had that 90s 007 was, like, once again, gadgets, women, stuff like that, right? So they were fun movies, and I always enjoyed seeing them. But for me, like, you know, you will watch those movies. They're not like, you know, they're not giving Oscar winning performances by any mean, you know. So, and so I've seen a couple of his other movies. And again, it's just, there's nothing special. But here, like, he really delivers on a lot of different ranges. And he really sells you on his character. And seeing him in his natural, like, Irish accent and stuff like that is, it was really entertaining. Because you just kind of always think of him as this English actor, because of what we've always seen him in, and it was really great, kind of just seeing him natural. So I think that plays a lot actually into, you know, his performance, and that's probably why he cared so much, to be honest. You know, is that he had real ties to somebody like this character, and he's an interesting character. He's a layered character, you know, so he's not one dimensional. He's actually, I would say, probably has the most dimension. Which is why he's the MVP of the movie for me. He does a great job. I don't think it's any spoiler to say that as far as the political goes, it's English and Irish. It's the IRA and English. And for me, one of my biggest positives about the movie is I really like the backdrop of this movie. So often in cinema, I go to a movie like this, and I've seen the same thing over and over again. It's very American. For example, like we've seen American Assassin this year, and as much as that movie could have done anything new, instead it was America versus Iraq or anything like that, right? And I'm just kind of like give me something new. And I thought that this movie, actually, if anything, that's one of it's my biggest positives, is that because it's not an American made movie, it's almost completely foreign based. And then has its marketing, you know, U.S. marketing. This movie is the most un-American movie I've seen in a while. You know, like, there's almost, I don't even think they mention the United States, maybe in passing, but like it was really cool to see, you know, a political movie based out of Ireland, because that's just not something that you see nowadays. Because 007, like, you see some political aspects for the British, but to see almost a completely Irish based movie as far as the politics go, it was really, really cool. And I'm a big fan of I've always wanted to go to Ireland, so just seeing a movie that took place there a lot of the movie was really fun. I'm like huge into Peaky Blinders, that here in the US is streaming on Netflix. And so to see Ireland in a more progressive way, because that's a time period piece, it's cool. I just like that area and that setting. And so the political backdrop was actually way more interesting than I ever thought it was going to be going into this movie. But then, you know, kind of a bummer is that I think Jackie Chan, unfortunately, kind of gets a back seat because of all that. There's actually a huge chunk of this movie that it was going so deep into some of that political stuff that he is actually gone. Like, he is totally missing from a huge chunk of this movie. And that's really sad, because he's actually almost like Pierce Brosnan, giving one of the better performances in a really long time, you know? And that's not to take away from any, you know, Jackie Chan, he's such a powerhouse, especially here in America. As far as like his comedic timing and everything like that. And he was just giving a very different performance in this movie. He's not funny. You know, he doesn't have a single piece of dialogue that's humorous. He's giving a really dramatic performance in this movie, and he was crushing it. And so for me, like, it's a little bit of a give and take thing, is like, again, because Pierce Brosnan was doing so well and it went so deep into the politics, Jackie Chan just kind of got a back seat there for a while, and then when he popped back up again, it actually didn't feel very cohesive when he came back in. You almost completely, because again, you just kind of completely forget that he was even in it. And that's probably somewhere around the second act, somewhere in the middle of the film. And there's a certain side story that I think could have been cut from the movie completely and still had the same weight to it, and you could have given all of that screen time to learning about, say, Jackie Chan's character, kind of delving more into him and stuff like that, that I felt like it would have been a more balanced movie, because that's what it feels like coming out of it, is it's actually just a little bit too unbalanced, that by the time that the movie wraps up cohesively at the end, I didn't feel as attached as I probably should have to what was happening, just because I felt like that should have been explored more. But again, these are all kind of very nitpicky things. Again, I did come out of the movie with good impressions, slightly surprised. But yeah, because like, again, like, it didn't have the exact flow that I thought it should have with Jackie Chan's character and Pierce Brosnan's character. And instead it kind of put Jackie Chan to the side to deal with some politics stuff. I felt like it dragged out in the middle there. And so by the end, I mean, it was only like it's not even a 2-hour movie, but it felt like it to me. And I felt like it definitely dragged. And that's going to happen when you have a political thriller, if you don't keep a good pace and stuff like that, and you get a little bogged down. And I think it did. There's a certain character in the movie, his wife. I feel like that whole thing was almost unnecessary by the end of the film to me. It was just kind of, that was kind of a bummer. But otherwise, yeah, like, the performances make this movie a standout to me. So I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think part of what made this movie more interesting than I thought it was going to be was just the care and attention that they place to portraying characters of different nationalities genuinely. I think a lot here in the American movie market, we kind of just expect everybody to act like Americans with different accents or with different ethnicities, right? But like for Jackie Chan grieving for the first like 20 minutes of this movie, he grieves like a like a Chinese person or someone from that background, and it seems almost wooden or almost robotic, because it's a very internal grieving process, right? Whereas like most Americans are used to something more external, where like certain people like Italians or Greeks are used to an extremely external grieving process, right? And so there was a real, I feel like in America we iron over that stuff, because I think we're not prepared to spend time to get to know somebody differently like that, or at least the movies aren't sure that people want to see something like that. But part of what makes Jackie's performance so incredible throughout the movie is that he is like, he feels very, very genuine, and it's gonna feel wooden to some people, but that's very much the way someone in his circumstance would act in that situation, right? Very determined, very internal, very, you know, I'm gonna go kill some people, then I'm gonna go back to my restaurant, right? You know, and so you see a lot of diversity on the screen, not only in the way that people look, but the way that people act, which is kind of the whole point. But but it wasn't something I was expecting out of a late summer action flick, you know, fall action flick. So it's not late summer, is it? It's October. So yeah, early fall. But that was, it was unexpected, and I was glad to see it. But I think that's about all I have to say. It's a solid recommend, especially if you're an action movie buff. We didn't talk a whole lot about it, but the action choreography in this movie, it's not kind of an action movie. It's more of a political movie, but it does have action in it, and the action stuff is well done. Particularly when like Jackie's getting away from people, or when he's sneaking around, right?
They still give him his few moments, yeah. You know. They still, because they know why you're there, and so they just don't make it a huge, you know, because they want to focus on the story, and because they focus on the story, it's not like this bombastic movie that he's just fighting everybody all at once, you know. But yeah, when he gets to bust loose, like he still does it, and he's believable, like, you know, even at his age, he's believable in the fact that I was like, yeah, that dude would totally just destroy me. You know what I'm saying? So I love it. Yeah.
So I'm done. You have anything you want to wrap up with?
No, it's a recommendation from me as well. So yeah, check out The Foreigner. Thank you all for listening here to the Weekend Review Show. Sam, do we have anything to tease for this upcoming week?
Yep, so next week we're going to have, we've got a lot of movies going to wide release, but it looks like the ones that we're going to try to cover are Only the Brave. It was focusing on the Granite Mountain Hotshots, true story kind of movie. We got The Snowman with Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson, focusing, it's kind of a serial killer thriller crime show. Mm-hmm. I don't think that one's based on a true story, that would be terrifying.
Book, yeah.
And then we have Gerard Butler's newest hit, Geostar.
Let's go.
Oh, man. I was in the theater, and I got to see a trailer for his next movie where he's like...
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I'm like, man, Gerard Butler is quickly becoming the Steven Seagal of our time, which...
He is, dude.
Which is a bummer, but, you know...
It is.
We're going to do our best to try to be unbiased for Geostorm, but... But that one's gonna. Let's just say I'm not enthusiastic or optimistic at this point in time.
No.
But we'll see. We're definitely gonna go see it. Put our bodies on the line for you, the listeners. Someone send us some flowers at the hospital. But so that's what we're covering. We're gonna cover Only the Brave, The Snowman, and Geostorm. So tune in next week to the Hero Cafe Weekend Review. And we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Alrighty, well, again, thank you for watching our weekend review show. Hope we enjoyed our takes on these three films. We will see you again next week. We got a loaded show for Monday, and then we have the weekend review show again next week. So until then, this has been us here at the Hero Cafe. Peace.